streaming online, on your phone, and on your smart speaker. The Lisa Wexler Show is back on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Our news has been dominated, and rightly so, by coverage of what happened in Uvalde, Texas last week. And I don't know if you know, but another 2.5 dozen, I think 30 people were killed in gun violence over this Memorial Day weekend. It just doesn't end. Conversations are now continuing and really starting, I hope, in earnest about the things that we know we can agree on, including the hopeful elimination of these assault-like weapons and raising the age for people to be able to buy them. As we talked about all of this, however, there was another very important story that hit our news waves last week that didn't really get enough conversation on our show. And that was a story about an election in Georgia. And it was a very, very significant contest between David Perdue and Brian Kemp for governor. Why? As a Republican primary. Why? Because the contest seemed to be about what direction the Republican Party should go in the wake of the former presidency of Donald Trump. And joining us now is Martha Zoller, who isn't only a very influential talk show host in Georgia, but she's a former congressional candidate herself who has put herself out there both as a supporter and a candidate for different campaigns, knows these players extremely well personally, has worked for both of them and worked with both of them, but took a stand to support one of them during this campaign. Martha Zoller, welcome to the show today. Hello.
It is great to be with you.
Well, thanks, Martha. So tell the audience who you chose to support, Brian Kemp versus David Perdue, and why.
Well, Brian Kemp, because he had done a terrific job as governor, and he was, you know, he had kept all his promises. I mean, he was the first lifelong Republican elected as a Republican governor to Georgia. He had a number of promises, and he kept those promises. And I had the opportunity to speak with former Senator Perdue before he got into the race, and I shared with him all of those reasons why he should not run. And, you know, he chose a different path, but ultimately he just could not raise the money or get the traction, because in this particular race, the fact that the voter knew Brian Kemp mattered more than the fact that former President Trump endorsed former Senator David Perdue. And ultimately, you know, that's what made the difference here. But it was not just a little difference. It was a 50-point difference. It was 72% to 22%.
Wow.
And this is one of the first states that former President Trump had to deal with getting a majority in order to actually have his candidate move forward. It wasn't like in Ohio where J.D. Vance won with 30% of the vote, or in Pennsylvania where they're in the 30s because they're not runoff states. This was a state where you had to get a majority in order for your candidate to move forward, and Governor Kemp did that.
So do you think, I hear that you think it's a very real reflection of the job the voters in Georgia think Brian Kemp is doing. Do you think that Donald Trump inserting himself in the race had any impact at all?
Oh, I think it was negative, because there were a whole lot of Trump voters that ended up voting for Brian Kemp because the president, the former president, said things like, we would have been better off.
Martha, you got to come back in. You just got garbled. Got to come back in.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting in the same place, so
okay.
I apologize.
All right.
But, you know, he said things like Stacey Abrams would have been a better governor. She's the Democrat running. I mean, he just inserted himself in ways that he shouldn't have. And Brian Kemp, interestingly enough, never said a negative word about the former president. He was getting mud slung at him all the time, but he took the high road, looked forward, and the voters liked that better.
And so now what happens for that race? Does he face off against Stacey Abrams in November?
Yes, that is what happens next. There will be a runoff for a few races, mostly on the Democratic side, quite frankly, in 3 weeks. And then the stage is set. But the stage is set for Senate, which is going to be Raphael Warnock against Herschel Walker and Brian Kemp against Stacey Abrams.
So those are going to be really very watched contests in November.
Oh, yes. And I mean, really, for a moment, let's lift up the fact we have two African-American men nominated for different parties from a deep South former state of the Confederacy.
Right.
I think that's a positive thing to lift up.
Yeah. I agree. And I definitely agree. And it's interesting. Do you think that the incumbents in both cases have an edge?
I think Raphael Warnock, because he was elected in a special election and really has only been up there for a year and a half, he is a little more vulnerable than, say, Governor Kemp is. But Stacey Abrams is polling about 4 points less than where she ended up in 2018. She has now opened up the floodgates as far as her money and that sort of thing is concerned. But I think we need to reconcile, add Stacey Abrams, which is a very positive message, to on the campaign trail Stacey Abrams, which is saying things like, Georgia's the worst place in the country to live. Well, I don't know how you want to be the governor of a state if you're going to say it's the worst place in the country to live.
She got a lot of flack for saying that. Of course, she was she was saying it, in the context of what she felt was a response to, something else. And she got carried away. And that carried away, they're tagging her with that big time. I've seen that again
and
again.
Well, and she also quoted statistics. When she clarified, she quoted statistics from Mississippi, which is in her home state. She's originally from Mississippi. She didn't even use Georgia statistics.
Oh.
And, we got saying Georgia about her Mississippi.
Wait, well, hold on. You're garbled again. It's not you. I'm in the studio today because Wi-Fi in my whole area is out. So we're having all kind of issues, I think, with tech today. Try it again. Try it again.
So we have a saying in Georgia called, thank God for Mississippi. Because, because they're usually worse than we are in certain things.
Oh,
so
boy.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh boy. Okay. I'm wondering.
Yeah.
I saw this morning in the rankings of things voters care about. Axios published this thing that it's the economy stupid again. It looks to be like the economy. Abortion is down. I think it's all the way down there. Certain social issues are all the way down there. Gun violence goes up and down depending upon the public's appetite to pay attention to it, depending upon the public's appetite to look at the latest tragedy and think that they can do something about it. But what's steady is inflation, gas prices, things like that.
Oh, absolutely true. There was a very interesting story in West Virginia 4 days ago where there was a party outside in an apartment complex. A man was driving fast back and forth through the parking lot. A group of people from the party said, hey, there's kids playing. Can you slow down? He gets out of the car with a gun, and a female who was a legal gun holder pulled her weapon and killed the man, and the police have credited her with probably saving 20 to 30 lives.
That is very rare.
Yes.
I mean, what's far more common are accidents, suicides, and homicides with people that should not have proper access to guns. It's a nice story.
Well, no, and you're absolutely right. The accidents and the suicides are much higher than these things we focus on because of the media attention.
Yes.
That it's the single use, kind of situation that we really need to work on. You're right about that.
Yeah. And where is Georgia when it comes to a consensus on gun rights, on gun control? Is there a consensus, for example, on the age?
Well, I think that there are some common sense things that are going to be done related to this. There are already, background checks and all of that kind of thing that are in place. Clearly, especially in Uvalde, there was a breakdown in how things were done, not only on a 18-year-old being able to buy weapons like that and where did he get the money, but also in the police response. So we're going to be looking at Uvalde for a very long time. But, yes, there is some consensus, and I think that, we certainly support following the law and using background checks.
Uvalde is so sad. I've been talking about this today. Not sad. It's traumatically upsetting to think that there's a 78-minute timeline between the time that guy hit the...
It's one tragic mistake, Lisa, is that the police chief decided it was a barricade instead of an active shooter. And if you look at... They had, as recently as March, a active shooter drill.
Yes.
Where they were told that what they were supposed to do is go in.
Go in.
Until the guy is neutralized,
right.
You go in.
That's right. Instead, they treated it like Dog Day Afternoon. Like the movie.
Yes.
That's what keeps coming to my mind. They're hostage and they're negotiating. That may be proper to do with some people, but not in a school shooting. And they knew that.
I agree.
So anyway, all right, I'm going to see you soon.
I'm going to see you next week. I'm looking forward to it.
Do you know that it's my birthday that day?
I do. I remember from last year.
Was I there last year, too? Was it June 10th again?
And Prince Philip is the 10th of June, which he passed away last year.
Yeah.
And my aunt is turning 101 on the 10th of June.
Oh, so it's a lucky day all around.
It's a lucky day.
Very, very nice. Yeah. And you know who else was born June 10th is Judy Garland.
Oh, well, that is very lucky.
Yeah, she was the best. She was the best. Well, Martha's also, I'm going to see you at Talkers, and we're going to be together talking, which is what we do at the Talkers Convention every year.
Hats off
to Michael Harrison for organizing it. So, all right, sweetheart.
Thanks,
well,
Lisa.
I'm glad to be with you, and thanks for coming on the show today. Martha Zoller of WDUN.
Thank you.
Sure. We're going to be right back with a woman who has the most extraordinary job that she created. This is a woman who is creating her own destiny and trying to improve the destiny of animals, wildlife, and human beings. Her name is Dr. Meg Lohman, and she is an official National Geographic explorer. She is the world's first global arbonaut. What's an arbonaut? Stay tuned. You'll find out. We'll be right back.